All right, everyone, this is a bonus call for November. We're into December, December 9th, 2020, and I'm sharing my screen right now because we're going to start with Becca today. And I want to show you some things that I'm working on. Now, this is not something that I do with every single student, but you're going to get the idea here when I show a few minutes. So I set the camera up, I'm on the other side, and look at where she's standing for one. So we just, you know, it's kind of that mini tennis type of concept, that short court tennis, but we're not working on just rolling the ball in. So this is something you could do with a ball machine. You couldn't really do this with a partner. Keep that in mind. But I want you to notice a couple of things as she's warming up, and I'm going to slow it down. But the first thing I want you to notice is her first move. So you can see the off arm is stretched across the body, and, you know, she doesn't really take the racket back, you know, move her hands that high. She keeps her hand below her shoulder here with her first move. And then what I want you to see here is notice how she kind of drops the racket and how closed the racket face is here. She has a semi-Western grip. And then she, and then you can see how the racket lays back like that naturally. So, you know, this is a pretty technically sound forehand. I'm sure we could nitpick it a little bit. But what's interesting is the first move is probably the most important thing, because we're gonna talk about that in a moment. But what's really interesting is what happens next. I know she gets into a great position here, but this ball was actually a high ball. But look at what I really want you to notice is look at that extension. Okay, it might be hard to see, but look at how that racket and that hand is almost straight, and look at how it goes out and around. I rarely see this with a club player. And so whatever you have to do to work on these two things, okay? The first is this move right here with the off arm pulling across, and then this extension right there, okay? Now, the other thing I'm telling her to do, and this is gonna sound crazy, but in this drill right here, and I actually mic'd myself up, but I don't know how it came out. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm telling her to miss long. So I'm wanting her to drive the ball, and that ball went pretty high over the net, and she missed long there. So we'll take it a little bit further. Okay, now watch this swing right here. So I want you to see, look at where her hand is right there. And then look at how she follows through well over her shoulder. And I am telling her to hit the ball into the fence, because what we're working on in the beginning is extension and ripping the ball, like a drive with a tight spin. We're not rolling the ball in. We're not playing mini tennis. We are driving the ball, because this is a skill that she has to keep practicing. She misses a lot of balls in the net when she gets tight. Can you relate? I also want you to notice, look at her balance. Look at how all of her weight is on her front foot. And she could tap her back foot. She could tap her toe. And so these are the skills that we're working on. Okay. Look at the extension again. Look at how high her hand is. Now ask yourself this question. Are you extending like this when you play? Because if you're not, this is the skill to start really working on and being aware of. Does your body look like this, straight up and down, all your weight on your front foot? You could tap the back foot, incredible extension. Okay, now I'm gonna move it forward till when she gets back on the baseline. And I'm telling her to do the same thing. I'm saying, listen, miss every forehand long. Now you're driving the ball, but miss it long. Okay, look at her feet. Look at how she's on her front foot. I'm gonna try, thank you. It looks like it's better now. Okay. So look at this position she's in. Look at how her knees are bent, but she's on her front foot. Now, when you see this happening, you might be looking saying, wow, look at her rotate her hips. Look at her rotate her hips. Oh my gosh. Guess what? We're trying to get her to calm her hips down and not rotate as much. Now, some of you may need to rotate your hips more, but a lot of you are over-rotating too early. And I am telling her to keep her right hip back. So right there, I know it looks like she's rotating her hips, but we are focusing on the forehand, the hand going to the ball. Now, one thing I want you to notice about this forehand that's actually better than the others is look at how her body, if I were to draw a line, which way is her body tilted? Is it straight up and down? Is her body tilted more to the left, or is her body tilted more to the right? Let me see what you all think about that question, if you understand the question. If I'm right at contact, right here, if we were to draw a straight line, is she tilted more to the right? Is she straight up and down, or is she tilted to the left? What do you see? To the right, more to the right, more to the right. Yes. Now, this is one of the secrets. This is one of the secrets to tennis right here. Most players are not tilted a little, like angled a little bit to the right here, because they've over-rotated and they've lifted this shoulder and they've moved this head to the left. And as soon as you do that, then you're actually going to be tilted to the left. But look at that position. She's a little bit tilted to the right, just a little bit, just a hair. Her head is like above her right shoulder, closer to her right shoulder than her left shoulder. And this allows the hand to accelerate and drop under the ball, okay? Right here. Now look at that extension. I can tell you right now that if we videotaped her playing a match, her forehand would not look like this. She would be pulling off the ball, bending her arm sooner. We are exaggerating this concept. And even when she finishes there, I actually would want her to stop sooner so that she doesn't kind of over-rotate. She did a great job there, but there's a lot of stick on that ball. Let's see. Let me see where that ball went. Yeah, that hit right on my face. That hit right on my feet there. And I said, good. Right? So I'm telling her to try to miss long right now. So I said there like that. I don't know if you all can hear me when I'm talking, but I'm just going to. So look at this. This is a low ball. Let's look at her body here. She steps in. She's not. See how her knee is staying bent? She's not lifting up. Look at the angle. Now, I realize this is a lower ball. So the lower the ball, the more she'll be angled to the right. But look at that position right there. And I said, that's a great shot. Look at the technique. Look at how the hand goes out. Now, this may be humbling, but go film your forehand. And you look at these checkpoints, okay? You look at her first move with her offhand. I think her first move could actually be better. I'm going to help her with her first move next time I go out. But does your first move look anything like this, okay? Now, when you get back here, a lot of people get focused on the lag here. Let's not focus on that. Do you get your body in position where you're bending your knee right here on a lower ball and you keep it bent through contact? I see a lot of you lifting your front leg at this point. Are you keeping your head on your right shoulder and feeling that little tilt? All of this, by the way, is inside the Topspin Forehand Secrets. So if you're like, if this is novel and you're hearing this for the first time, just go to the course and look at what I talk about with the body. Okay, look at that fall through. Is your hand going that high when you swing? And if it is the forehand floating? Is it going too high over the net? That means that we haven't figured out how to aim lower yet. Okay. Now let's fast forward a little bit. I move her off to the side. And again, the number one intention with her is I'm teaching her how to drive through the court. Drive through the court, because she plays girls that play heavy. And I want her to hit through it like Sharapova. If she ever wanted to play on the pro tour, I think this is her best chance of doing it. It's not a risk, but we're taking the chance that, listen, you're not going to be a looper. You're not going to be the heavy player. You're going to be the driver like Sharapova, like Leighton Hewitt. That's how you're going to play. Okay. And guess what? In college, a lot of her college coaches told her to play high over the net and be consistent. That's not how she was trained. And that's not her style. So we're trying to get her to actually be more of who she is. Let me see if I can find a wide forehand. Here we go. So we're moving wide here. So look at what we're doing here. So this is an easier ball on the wide ball here. But look at the leg behind. Look at the outside leg here and how it almost comes in front of this foot. She steps in front. Look at the load. Okay, now when she goes to hit this ball, yeah, she hit that one real nice. So again, it might look like she's rotating her hips, But we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on her hand going first and then her hips come around. Even though it's an illusion, it looks like, wow, that hip is firing. It's only because she has a tendency to fire the hip early. And that's what most players do. They fire too early and they miss hit. But look at her head again, how it stays on the right shoulder. Her body is upright. Look at that extension right there. And then when she finishes, look at her base. Are you practicing getting in this wide base? Okay. Look at this again. So she swings, she's open, she stays open. Look at that finish again. Look at the hand. How many of you are you getting your hand to that position and finishing like this? If you all can go out and work on your finish and looking like this, she could actually bend this leg a little bit more. But if you could work on that, that's going to make a huge difference in your forehand and your long-term developmental plan. Okay. Also, the other thing we're working on here is if you've ever done a kettlebell swing, when you do a kettlebell swing, you thrust your hips forward, just like you tilt your pelvis on the serve in the trophy position so you don't squat. She is working on that right there. She is pushing her hips forwards towards me so her body is completely upright and balanced. If her upper body goes forward and her butt goes back, or if she over-rotates, she's not going to be able to squeeze her butt right here and engage her glutes, which is the power source and which helps her create a great center of gravity here. Christy says, great finish, even her stance. Very nice, like her head being steady at contact. Yes. And again, I'm showing this to start the call today because this is the exact same lesson I would give to a 3.5 player. And people say, oh, she's advanced, she's high performance. All you got to do, and I say all you got to do like it's easy and like that's it, but that really is it. You need to work on these skills right here for the next 5 years and get better at it and get clear on it. And don't get caught up in all this other stuff out there. There's so much stuff that you get in your head that's it's cobwebs. It's slowing your progress down. Stick to the basics, okay? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pull up a player that sent me a video of the forehand. And we're also going to talk about, so this is a knot. I'm going to share my screen. And there's some other videos I'm going to pull up as well. And I'm going to read some of the comments from a knot here. Okay. And we're going to talk about the differences, right? So we're going to focus on the differences and what I would do for Anat if he was with me right now in Denver with Becca, okay? So here's Anat. This is a video from today. I'll pull another video. So I'm going to pull up some things here. Okay. All right, so this is a video that starts with, okay, can you tell me what I'm doing wrong on this high, slow forehand? I do load up on my outside leg, as you mentioned, but the result of the shot isn't good. The shot isn't clean, it has no power, and it sails out. Is it backswing too short? Something with the racket plane during contact, as we discussed. Some other issue with my kinetic chain, or maybe all three. Curious to hear your thoughts. Okay, so that actually was an older video. So here's a video fresh from hitting high forehands. My timing was pretty bad today, so lots of material to work with. Okay, so that's this video right here. Now, I don't have a high video of Becca that I can find right away, and I don't want to waste a ton of time looking for one. But I am going to pull up some videos that I downloaded to show you some things to be aware of. Now, again, if you have to go tonight and you're busy and you have other things to do, if you just learned a couple of things from what I just said in that forehand tutorial, that's going to keep you busy for a while, okay? So the first thing I want to point out is I want you to notice, and I know this is a higher ball. Here's a knot over here. Look at the ball has bounced, okay? Let's look at where Becca is when the ball bounces. So this could be a good cue for you, Anat, and everybody else. So I feed this ball. Granted, it's a low ball. The ball bounces. Look at her position when the ball bounces. Are her hands separated? Okay, are her hands separated when the ball bounces? What is her offhand doing? Her offhand is pulled across, right? Let's look at a knot. The ball has bounced. Okay, this is preparation 101. In my opinion, a knot's hands are too close to his body at this part of the swing. His off arm is bent. And so he is not creating enough space. Now, what's interesting is that Anant has studied from another coach previously who has a philosophy that you keep your hands closer at the beginning of the swing. I don't agree with that based on my experience, because what happens is a lot of players get jammed when they're in this position. Now, Anant doesn't get jammed, so he could possibly still make this work, but he should be in this position sooner. And then when the ball bounces, I feel like he should be in this position where the off arm is pulled across. So look at what happens here. The off arm never pulls across. It stays bent. And I see this a lot. And I see a lot of people trying to copy Federer and others where they hold on to the racket too long and they take the off hand back behind them. And that causes them to be late. So what I would like to see is more of this model here where, listen, she's got her off hand on the racket. The ball is clearing the net, and she still has her offhand on the racket. So this is great. This is what Anant looks like right here. Although Anant takes his hand a little bit higher than I would probably take it. I think he could take his hand a little bit lower. It's all style. We know pros that do this, so that's not the thing that's going to fix it, but it's something to consider. Maybe the hand is a little bit lower. I'd probably like to see his hand at about shoulder height. But at this point in the swing, when the ball bounces, I'd like to see this offhand. Ball bounces here. Look at her offhand across. Okay? So that's number one. So Anant, you have homework to do. You have to work on your first move and get that arm to pull across. Okay? Now, right here, what's interesting is I told Anant that he needs to take the racket back further behind him. And what's happening is from this position, he's starting just to come forward. So the racket doesn't drop or get down low enough. If you look at Becca here, look at her hand gets right to the right side of her hip and the racket lays back. We don't see this with the knot. So we need to get that racket to close a little bit more here. Okay, it doesn't have to close as much as this. I don't know what kind of grip he has. I can't tell. It doesn't have to close this much, but I would like to see the racket get back much further, and I'd like to see the racket drop a lot lower. It's got to get under the ball. Now, I didn't pull up. Let me see if I can pull up. So what I would do in Anant to get this, and I didn't download the video because I ran out a little bit of time. But if you go into the drills, so I'll let that load up. Yeah, the drills here. Your drill, and this is for a lot of players too, would be, where is it? Racket work. Racket face down and closed, okay? So we'll make sure we get you that lesson because this is in the mastery program. If you are a platinum member, you have access to this, but unfortunately, if you're in gold, you don't. But I, when we talk about concepts, then I start to move some of these videos into the bonus section. But this is the video, and basically, the racket starts down and closed. And so, for some reason, it's not opening. I'm gonna just try to download it here. I don't know why it's not opening. That's weird. Okay. Anyway. Can't technical difficulties, but that's a big thing is getting, we got to get the hand. Oh, it just opened up. So look at where my hand is compared to Anant's. And again, I know it's a low forehand, but the hand should still be getting down here. The hand is not dropping under the ball. So that's going to be a huge power leak, not being able to drop underneath the ball and getting that hand down by the hip. So we got to get that hand down by the hip, and it's got to come back behind the body more for a knot. Some of you have too big of backswings. That is not a knot's issue. Okay. So number one is you got to work on the first move. So if you're going out on the court tomorrow, you just work on the first move. Okay. The second thing is you work on taking the racket back further and dropping the hand more, but it might be difficult to do both things at the same time. So you want to separate it. We don't want this over analysis concept. We want to be focusing on one thing at a time and improve that skill. So then see, he lays the racket back pretty nicely there, but it just needs to be lower. It needs to be coming from below the ball. Now, one thing I noticed with the knot is he's loading up pretty well, but when the ball starts to get high, he's going to have to work on his footwork here, because you'll see how he just kind of bends and then he kind of just straightens. Let me show you something here. This is the next thing for you to do, even if it's in kind of slow motion for you. I want you to start working on, and this is in the members area in the bonus forehand section. When the ball comes high a knot, you're going to have to work on loading. So here's my load. All right. So here's my load right here. Now look at the difference. Okay. Look at the difference in the load. If you all can see this, notice how my knee is first of all, I'm bending more, but my leg is, how can I describe it? Your leg a knot is underneath your hip, but you should be in a wider base like me. So this foot should be out a little bit more and you should be sitting and sinking into it more. You have the right amount of knee bend, but your foot has to get up more. So it's kind of behind your body. It needs to get up. I hope that makes sense, but you want to start to model this right here. And then if they're pushing and they're hitting these high balls, you want to learn you're athletic enough. Not all of us on the call are athletic enough to do this. But a knot, you're athletic enough right here. Watch me jump. And this might take a little bit to get used to if you're newer to the game. Look at how I jump, and I know I'm jumping higher than most here, but I exaggerate. Look at that rotation. That's how you're going to get power, by rotating your body like what I'm showing in this video right here. So you're going to load, you're going to get off the ground, and you're going to land on this foot. Now, I would study this video, because a lot of people, when they first learn this switch pattern, they actually jump to the right. You'll be jumping to the right and you'll be running into the ball. But if you see me push, watch how I jump up in the air and almost back towards the left. I'm basically going back on that shot, but I'm trying to jump back to the left, because the habit is to jump into the ball. So the next phase for you, Anat, is going to be the switch pattern as well as the outside hop. So this is another one that you're going to practice. And for some of you, if this is too advanced, keep in mind that this idea here is, if it's too advanced or physically you can't do it, ask this question. What would I need to do to become physical enough to do that? Well, I'd have to train my single leg squats, even if they're mini squats off of a bench at home. I'd have to train my ankle flexibility. I'd have to train my single leg strength and these types of things, and my mobility and my hips and my ankles and my stability. And I do corrective exercises that might allow me to jump someday. If not, leave it alone. You got knee issues, you got ankle issues, don't worry about it. But what this is also showing is how the body works as a unit. And so when I load up, look at my stance. It's wider than yours, Anat, right? It's wider. And then I jump. So I make contact with the ball. I want you to notice this. I make contact with the ball, but I'm a little bit off the ground here. Mm-hmm. But I'm leading with my hand first, and then I come off the ground. See how I come off the ground afterwards? A lot of people jump too early. But look at how I jump in the air and I let this leg swing around. You'll see the pros do this a lot, especially when they want to go cross court. So Anat, you have work to do, which is great, right? There's a progression to all this. But when your question is, I'm struggling against pushers, this is one of the reasons. When you come back here, you've got to get into a wider base here. And when you load and jump, you've got to rotate your body. See, your body's not rotating. So you're just stopping right there. So you're not using your whole body to rotate, okay? So that's going to be big for you. Now, why did I start with the hand first? because that's more important than the body. I think if you can learn how to prepare better, learn how to drop the racket, you can actually rip these balls. It almost looks like you have an Eastern grip, Anat, so we need to look at that. But this swing path is straight across, and the swing path has to go much more low to high. And I know there's some comments coming in, but let me see if we can see the low to high on my video here. So this ball is not as high as the one Anat's dealing with, but let's look at where the ball is. Okay, so look at where the ball is. It gets to right, that's the highest point, okay? Now look at where my hand, look at where my racket, my hand is down by my belly button, okay? So Anat, you could actually back up more. So you could back up more and let this ball drop because you're getting it at its peak. So this is another big thing. If you're going to get it at its peak, then you need to use a footwork pattern called back to front. But on this ball against the pusher, unless it's really short, I'd back up another step, let the ball drop, and get your hand never gets below, let's say, your chest. It's probably between your chest and your shoulder. Look at where my hand is. Okay, and then look at my racket path from here. Look how my hand goes way up, just like Becca does, right? So Anat, your hand is just going straight across. You can go straight across if you're gonna hit a flat laser put away, but that's when you're inside the baseline. You're presenting a forehand where you're behind the baseline. So back up more, let the ball drop, and use that low to high swing path. Okay. So to summarize, just to clarify on the first move, is the focus to get hands separate when the ball has bounced and also to keep my hand lower at shoulder level. I do have an Eastern grip. Yeah, you've got to get your hand under the ball more and you've got to prepare sooner and try to get your off arm straighter. There's a lot to work on here, but we need to break it up, down into steps just like your serve. Okay. And then obviously you can go back and review this call next week as well. Is the Eastern grip the correct one? Well, I prefer a semi-Western, but you can still make all this work with an Eastern grip. I also can't tell how he's holding the racket. So let me grab a racket here. Just a minute. The deep ball switch pattern is a game changer. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And the outside hop, both of them are huge. But hopefully you all can see my hand here. But a lot of people, when they're holding the racket, I can't tell with the knot, but this index finger is close to the middle finger. So you've got to get this spread like this. You got to get some spread so that you can feel it in your hand, right? And if I have an Eastern grip, you're not going to maybe go as low to high, but you've got to spread that index finger. Okay. So that's what I would focus on. Bruce's question, Anat definitely has a block grip. So this is interesting because Anat is telling me in other previous messages, hey, I'm not getting enough power. Okay. I'm not able to lay my wrist back. Guess what? It sounds like he's holding the racket inefficiently. I would say that 95% of club players are holding the racket inefficiently and they wonder why they can't get power. So just like the serve with the continental grip, if you're going to have a pro style serve, you have to have a continental grip. If you're going to have a pro style forehand, you got to spread that index finger, whether you have an Eastern grip or a semi-Western grip. Bruce says, would you have him do some swing volleys to practice high balls as well? I mean, swing volleys could work, Bruce, but what I'm seeing here is he's got to get his prep better. He's got to get that off arm across by the time the ball bounces and really create space. And then here's the other thing. If he can create some space, it's possible that now the racket can travel to the inside because he's starting outside. Remember, he's starting inside. Okay. So when I say inside, he's starting close to his body. So then when he goes to swing, he pushes his hand outside. if he starts out like this, then the racket can come, maybe come behind his body. If he starts out and stays out, it's going to feel really stiff. So I'm hoping that if he pushes his hands out and he gets this arm straight, then the racket is going to come behind the hip a little bit more for him. And we need him to feel, you need to feel like your hand is at your hip height when you're back there. It's got to feel a lot lower. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on. Just when I said I was going to move fast through everything, I went deep into a concept. But I think that's important, again, for everyone to understand what direction are we trying to go with the forehand? What are we trying to create here? You know, I don't know if I have a high ball in here. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if I have one. I'm not sharing the screen here. Let me share it. So we're back again. Okay, this is interesting. So what I did on this ball right here is I fed her a different forehand right here. Okay, all right. So this is also about learning. I had fed her the same forehand like 20 times and she's ripping. And all of a sudden I threw in a high, slow ball, the ones that some of you are complaining about, right? The pusher, and she just totally shanked it. So let's look what she does. She runs over to the ball and she totally mishits this ball. So I can see a couple things that happened here. So for one, her prep is good. The ball hasn't bounced and she's ready. She might have gotten ready a little too early and that made her go. I'd have to ask her. But right there, okay? So here's what happens. I fed it slow, okay? And she's moving, actually, she's not cutting the angle. So she should have moved up a little bit and gotten her right leg in front more. See how her right leg is behind? Her right leg is behind. This leg needs to be in front and she needs to be going forward. But what happens is when she jumps, watch when she jumps, she's still moving to the right. So she had time to get behind the ball so that she could get her body to go forward. This is a subtle thing and a very advanced thing, but also the ball got a little high on her here. She should have met it maybe another 2 to 3 inches lower. So that's what I mean. If she would have cut the ball off with her outside leg, she would have found that shot. Also, what I talk about is you see her shank it over there. She had no balance when she was done. So when she landed, she was already flowing to the right. But what I like players to do is when they land, she should hop 3 times on this foot right here and be totally upright. But you'll see she comes down and she's already going to the right. The last thing I'll give you here is if you're shanking the ball like this, she needs to aim right through the middle of the court. There's a safe target over here. I think she was trying to pull this ball cross court and she ended up pulling it because she was going cross court. If you aim down the middle on this shot, then you have a greater chance of staying with the ball. Okay. Let me go to another forehand. This is going to be sight unseen. So Mindy sent in a quick video, and the reason I'm going to Mindy is because she wants to look on her forehand and we're on the forehand. So she was looking on the high, slow ones. Okay. So it looks like Mindy, your feet are cut off. So I can't see everything, but it looks like, okay. It's good how you really edit them so we don't have to wait. All right. So everybody, let's see, pull it up here. I got to share. Sorry about this. You're welcome and not. Okay, so here's Mindy's forehand. We can't see her feet, okay? But let's look at her move, okay? So let's look at her first move. How's she doing when the ball bounces? I think she's doing pretty well. I think the offhand is across from what I can see. I think her hand is in a good position. Nice job there, okay? But what's interesting, here's what's interesting. When she goes to swing, she does bend her She does bend her off arm. I can see it's bent. Okay. So then now it's into her. So if I look at, let's look at my forehand. Let's look at actually Becca's forehand. See how when Becca is with her hand behind her like this, see how her arm is still straight? It's not until she starts to come forward that the arm starts to pull in a little bit. Okay. But even then it's not bending that much. Okay. So that's something, Mindy, if you could work on keeping your arm straighter right here, your off arm straighter, that will help you with your spacing. Now, remember when we talked about the body balance? If I were to draw a straight line right here, is Mindy straight up and down? Is she tilted a little bit to the right or is she tilted a little bit to the left? What do you see? I'll pull up the chat. To the left, correct. Yes, good first move. To the left, to the left, to the left. So this goes back over-rotated. Yes, Mindy. And I know we've talked about this, how this is something you've been working on, is rotating your hips. And again, it's not excessive, but it's just enough to pull off the ball. So let's look at another forehand and see what happens. Oh yeah, even this. Look at this. Look at when she finishes right there. So you can really see the tilt and the over-rotation there. So what I would do, we have to decide what stance are we going to use here. And it's a little bit hard with the feet, but it looks like, Mindy, you're trying to step in, but you almost have a semi-open stance. So when you finish, and this is something I'm helping Becca with, notice how when you finish, the right leg is about 2 feet from your left leg. If you're going to step in, this foot should actually be more behind, like straight behind. Let me see if I can find one for Becca. Let me show you the difference here. And it's all about kind of how you finish. Can you finish on balance? So remember when she was warming up. Let's see what happens on this forehand. Okay. All right. So see the feet. See how the feet, they're closer together than this stance right here. See how wide the feet are here? You're going to be wide if you're in open stance. But Mindy is in a closed stance, and then she's wide. So I'd like her to be finishing, if she's going to step in, more like this at the end, right there. Totally upright, straight up and down. This foot is going to be closer to this foot. She can tap the back toe. That's for balance. Okay, let's see what else happens here. Yeah, same thing. So the question is, what stance do we want here? Because that looks like a semi-open, but I'd like to see you get behind it and really step in and get behind the ball. Also, right there. Okay, watch this. So right here, the body goes up and then it kind of goes down a little bit. So we've talked about trying to keep the body and the head more still. Now that ball went really high and you said you're having a hard time getting it lower. So what I would do is, let's look at the swing. The swing looks really good. I think it's more body issue. And what I can't figure out is the swing looks good. Okay, here's something I'd work on. So you were saying high balls, right? So this is important. If you're working on high balls, the question is right here, and this is similar to a knot. Why are you taking the ball at that height behind the baseline? I think you're on the baseline. There's no reason to. So what I would do if I were you is back up, let the ball drop. Let it drop into your strike zone like Becca is here, okay? So let it drop into your strike zone. I'm feeding her low ball, so it's not really the same ball. Okay, so look at that ball. That is right in her hip. That's in her wheelhouse. Mindy, why not back up and let this ball drop into your wheelhouse and then try to do this. That's what I would do. If you want to take the high ball and put it away, then we need to see you working on it kind of inside the court with this back to foot, back to front footwork pattern. So if I were to come over here, and I think it's actually in the members area. Let me see if I can find, I don't know if back to front is in here. No, I don't see it in here. I think I have it in the membership area. Let me see. Let me find it in the bonus lessons here. So here's a great lesson. Get on the front foot. Again, I know it's in the platinum membership. In the masteries, but my point is that what I'm seeing with Anant and now Mindy is that we're taking high balls in the wrong position. Okay. And then if you are going to take it there and you're taking it at the shoulder, actually you want to get that hand. If you want to flatten it out, you have to come more across like Anant was doing. But I really think the first goal for us is to get you to back up, let it drop and don't take it at this height. Let me watch another one. Again, look at the ball. It's too high. So again, make the decision. Like if you're going to take it early, the ball bounces, you should take it right there. So you're going to be another 2 feet in and you're going to load up your back leg and use what's called a back to front. These types of balls that are coming to you, they're balls that I would back up on, let drop and rip. If the ball comes higher and slower, then you could move in and use the back to front. That's right. We're going to lean to the left if the ball is high, unless we use the right footwork. And I want to see, actually, I'm just going to be stubborn on this. I'm going to find the video for you to study in the membership area. So watch this. Please mute if you can. I can hear background noise. Thank you. Hopefully you can see my screen. Yep, you can see my screen. Okay. So I'm going to go into here. I think it's in Next Level Tennis. Let's see. Might be in Strategy, actually. If you back up, aren't you basically feeding what the pusher wants to happen? No. Because or not, if you learn how to do the switch pattern, you can rotate your body, and if you spread your finger on your and you release your hand, that ball is going to jump, and you're going to hit a heavier ball back to back them up, and then when they leave it short, you can move in and hit that back to front. So let me see if I can find that lesson for you. Okay, here it is right here. Master Module 6, master the put away forehand. So if you want to learn how to deal with high balls, you're going to watch this lesson right here. And again, there's some delay tonight. I don't know if it's Zoom, but this is your lesson where I show inside the baseline the footwork to use. And you're going to load your back leg and you're going to land. It's a balance drill. You're going to learn how to balance and you're going to do some hopping. You can see how it's kind of wonky tonight. Let's see if I can find the area in the court where we're working on it. I'm spending a lot of time on this. I mean, look at where this is Simon right here. So this is the area, Mindy, if you want to work on the high forehand, you should be standing just behind where I am right here. And the ball should be at your shoulder and you're going to use the back to front. So let me see if I can find an example here. Here we go. There it is. So watch this. That's what you're going to do right there. You could do either. You could do from the side where the camera is closer to the net, so it's a diagonal view. But from behind, I mean, it's okay. It's just I can't see all the technique, but I can see the footwork. And so if you look right here again, Simon, watch this put away. So look at that position. And then you land and you kick this leg back right here. So a knot, if you want to beat the pusher, learn how to do this. Mindy, if you want to beat pushers, learn how to do this. But first, back up and let the ball drop and learn how to rip it from a deeper position in your strike zone. Don't take balls at the shoulder when you're on or behind the baseline. That's a recipe for disaster. Okay? That's really tough spot to be. Okay, we're going to move along here. I'm going to move to the next phase. We're going to move on to the serve now. And this is where I am going to go rapid fire. Okay, I'm going to go as fast as I can to get through some serves here tonight, because remember, it's going to be a lot of the same concepts. And what I'm finding is a lot of players want me to look at their serves. They're sending in their serve. Some of you have been on the calls before, some of you haven't. And there might be a little bit of a disconnect, because I'm basically saying everyone that's following Tennis Evolution Plus should do a half serve for the next year. And yet when I'm getting the videos sent in, I'm seeing a lot of full serves. I apologize if I'm kind of calling you out a bit here when we show some videos, but most of you should not be serving in a full serve if you really want to change your technique. If you don't want to change your technique, that's fine. But it's hard for me to help you change your technique if you don't go to the half serve. So let me just, that's the caveat that I'm giving tonight. And let me dive in. So remember the common themes here. Let's see what everyone's retaining. What are the common themes, the most important? Let's say, everyone type in the chat box what you think are the three most important things to learn in the serve before you do anything else. What are the most important things to get before you do anything else? All right. Adam, did you answer my question? Not yet, Adam. We're going to get to you, buddy. Raul, first move. Vishal says, open chest, drop, and elbow the enemy. Daniel says, feet position. High says, turn shoulder. This is good, because now I'm realizing we don't have a uniform language yet. Christy said, Chin says, grip, turn, trophy. Kristen says, grip, turn, toss. This is great. Awesome. Because this really helps me. Jeremy says, grip, stance, first move. 2020 says, relaxation, first move, pronation. Daniel says, shoulder turn. Raul says, toss. Gretchen says, stance, first move, shoulder turn. Legs bend off. Craig says, legs bend off to push. Raul says, back foot load. Anat says, swing path. Okay. Great answers. Here's where I go. And this was a generic question, assuming that you're not advanced. Okay. I mean, assuming that you're not advanced with your serve yet. When I say advanced, I say like college level. The number one thing is the grip. And I still think half might be aggressive, but 50% of the videos I'm getting, you're not in a continental grip and you're asking me to improve the serve. So again, the grip change is a beast. I could swear right now at how much of a beast it is, how hard it is to change, what's required, but it's the grip, okay? If you want to learn a pro style serve, you must change the grip. The second thing is learning how to make an appropriate first move. And the way here's the big thing. The way to make an appropriate first move is to start in the half serve position. So a lot of you are trying to make better first moves from the full motion, and it's simply not going to happen. Okay. And Gretchen says it's very hard to change a grip on a student. It is very hard. But I'm giving you the best framework I know how. And actually, I have a tool that a friend of mine is developing to help people with a grip. So I'm hoping that this tool is going to help. I haven't tried it, but he's going to send it to me. I'm going to test it out. But starting in a half serve position is the second thing for everybody, even advanced players, because most advanced players are not turning and getting into a great trophy position. So my goal would be for every student on this call to send me videos in where they're only serving from a half serve position, no full serves. I don't need to see full serves because I know that this is what everybody has to work on. Now, if you're stubborn and you're like, hey, I don't want to do the half serve, I want to do the full serve, I'll show Jeff, that's fine. Do it, but then show me a great trophy position. I've yet to see a player find a great trophy position from a full motion if they're trying to change their serve. I haven't seen it yet, and I've been coaching since 2008 now. So I'm going on 12, I'm 12 full years into this thing. And so the half serve, send me a video of your half serve and send me a video of you doing the dirty diaper. I don't need to see the full serve if you're not able to hit topspin yet. If you don't want to change your serve, like I said, it's not a big deal. If you want to send your video in, I'll just say, hey, you know, maybe you can try to do a workaround here. But for the full meal deal, you get the continental grip, you get a half serve, and you work on your dirty diaper. And so in my perfect world, everyone is going to commit to learning this skill right here. The faithful student, Christy, who used to have a forehand grip and used to face the net and used to have no shoulder turn. She's starting in a half serve. She's got a continental grip. She has a nice turn. Everybody should look like that when they send me their video in. If they don't, I'll help you, but I'll keep telling you to do this until you get it. And then you go up to the ball, and then you finish on the right side of your body, and you keep your body sideways. Notice there's no over-rotation here. See a theme here? On the forehand and the serve, we can't over-rotate if we want to learn how to play like the pros. Okay, and this is a skill that takes time to develop.
Coach, you're not sharing
how to video. Right. You're right. Thank you. I just realized it. So everybody should send me a video in looking like this. And when they toss the ball, even if they don't hit it, they should just send me a video in tossing the ball and show me this. And then I'll tell you what you need to do to get your elbow and your hand in a better position. Does everybody have to serve like this? No. You see pros that have low elbows. You see pros that have high elbows. You see pros that don't have a great shoulder turn. So I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm just saying in order for us to create a framework to follow, to be able to get in the most natural position possible, I'm suggesting you consider this. And then I showed Christy a minute ago, everybody should just practice this and send me videos in every month. And once we get this, guess what? I'll let you go to the next step. Okay. I'm Mr. Miyagi. Okay. I'm your Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. First move on the forehand, extend. All right. Let the ball drop, extend. Are you on your right side on your forehand? Are you over rotating? If you want to call me Mr. Miyagi, if you want to call me Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. You can give me whatever name you want. But it's wax on, wax off. And this is wax on, wax off. You are not allowed to go to the karate competition. You're not, Danielson, you are not allowed to do this until you wax on, we wax off for 6 months with the cars in the back. And you're going to get mad at me. You're going to say, why am I doing this? Danielson yelling at Mr. Miyagi. But in a year, you're going to say, oh my gosh. Okay? Oh my gosh. I can actually serve. I'm starting to get the feeling. It's totally different than how I learned. It's totally different than how I've played the last 30 years. And again, you don't have to do it. I always say that. You don't have to do it. It's no big deal. Do it if you want. If you want to do it, I'll help you. Okay? I'll give you the pathway. Christy says, extremely hard, but you can change the grip. And what you have to do is you have to exaggerate. So let me see if I can find a video that I don't even think I've put on the I don't even think I put it on, but it's a drill called Hitting on Edge. And listen, I'm not the only, I mean, you could Google online how to change the grip. You might find your own drill that helps, but this video right here, I'm basically hitting the ball racket on edge. So I can get this in the membership area as well, because I'm talking about the forehand grip here. But look at what I'm describing here. Hopefully, you can, I don't know if you can hear this. But see how I'm rotating my shoulder there? So just doing drills like this every day. Right? We have to rotate the shoulder. So now I'm literally, look at how I'm starting with the racket. And this is a lot to get, like, you know, but I am literally swinging and then I'm rotating into position to learn the opposite of the frying pan. Okay. So I'll get that video in the members area. But these are the types of drills you're going to have to do to change. Knott says, question on the half serve. Is it acceptable to have the racket tip pointed to the side instead of forward as in your videos? Other instructors have the racket tip to the side. There's a reason why I have everybody start the racket on the right side instead of, I think you're saying kind of to the side, like behind the body. Does anybody know why? Why do I like the racket starting here? It shows she is turning her wrist at the end. Do we do the half serve during the match? Let somebody else answer that question. I'll answer it in a minute.
No.
Christy's going to call me coach. If you start at the back, then the drop won't be learned. First move to allow the drop, full extension and pronation. High says yes. Christy's yes. Start in a half serve. Why would you serve in a full motion in a match and do the old habits? Now, if you're in a half serve and you can't serve hard and it's terrible, yes, serve your full motion and then take your time to do the half. But if you can get decent pop with the half serve, you should do it. Again, some students on the call have had a hard time getting power with their half serve. So yes, do your full motion. It's almost like you're going to go through this painful period of having two different serves. The racket tip is pointing to the side fence instead of to the net. I see. I don't know why we would, I guess I'd need to see a video of to the side fence. I mean, if I point it to the side fence, you're losing. Okay, if I try to do that, then the hand, I just did that. The racket and the hand don't feel connected to the body. Essentially, what you're trying to do is stay in a cylinder so that when you turn right here, you'll notice the racket's not really moving. And I'll show you mine. Look at my racket. If I start with it right here and I turn my shoulders and I'm not moving my racket, this is the issue. A lot of you are moving your racket. Look at the racket. It's not moving. I mean, it's moving, but the racket angle is not changing. Okay. We're learning the coil. We're learning the turn. Half serve. And we're also learning to get the hand and the arm in the right position. How is Federer's arm position? Is it pretty good? Does he get in the right position in trophy? It's about as good as it gets. But if you start down here in a full motion, it's very difficult to find that position. You're either going to have a low elbow or a high elbow because it's hard to find. So if you're going to throw a ball, you want to get to this position and learn that. Okay? All right, so we're already at 7:10. I haven't even analyzed serves, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to race through it here. Let's start with Adam. Adam's a patient young lad. Appreciate the patience, Adam. You send in your videos. I'm just going to clear some things here. Okay, Adam's coming up to the line to serve. I'm going to move real fast through everybody here, okay? I'm going to go like 1 minute tip, okay? If you want more help, more private help, more consultation, you need to go deep. You need to understand it. Then we can work, you know, one-on-one together. All right. So Adam set up. So the first thing I see right away is the stance. So the stance, Adam, is too extreme for my liking. So what I'd like to see, let me pull up my video here. So number one thing, Adam, next video you send in, I want an improved stance, okay? If you're here, nod yes. Look at the difference in the stance. Look how far back that left foot is. Look at where my foot is. Let's get the stance more stable. Let's see what you do when you toss. Yeah, so you're not going to a pinpoint. Some people start here and go to a pinpoint. But the first thing I want you to do is change your stance to look more like mine. Okay. The second thing I want you to do is what we just talked about is I want to see a half serve. I want to see a half serve and I want to see you rotate because when you bring the racket up, guess what? Look at where your elbow is. There's no elbowing the enemy. It doesn't look like this. So what I want, your tossing arm looks amazing, by the way. Okay. But I want that elbow the enemy like this. All right. Two things, stance and first move. Elbow the enemy, start in the half serve position. Next, watch what we do here when we go through this list. Anant, I know you're getting double dose, but you're here. You're getting extra treatment. I don't know which video this is in the one you sent, but let's look at yours. Okay, he's starting in a half serve. So he's been trained up nicely. Anant and I have spent some time together. The thing with Anant is when he tosses the ball. Now, this might be an older video. I can't remember. But notice when he releases the ball, he's already moved his racket. That's very different than when I'm right here, look at where my racket is. So the racket position needs to stay more closed and the elbow has to stay up more. Again, this may be an older video. And guess what? Don't move this back foot, okay? This racket is dropping too early. So you have to keep the racket in this position right here. You can't let it flip down, but this is opening too early. So work on finding that position. What I would work on is just tossing without hitting the ball and seeing if it can look more like my position. And again, try not to move that foot, okay? You're just going to be serving from the solid stance there. And again, I apologize or not if that's not a recent video, but I just pulled one real quick. Austin, I had a video of you, but I don't see it. I don't know why, but maybe that's from previous week. I apologize. I'd have to do it next week. Okay, Danny, you sent in a video. First thing I'm going to say is see if you can give me a video from behind. Okay? A video from behind. Looks like you're in a forehand grip. You're in a continental. So step one, if you want to change it, is you're going to get to a continental grip. You're going to go through the painful process of the continental. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to go to a half serve and you're going to work on, look at this is just like Adam with the low elbow. You're going to work on turning like I do. See right there, that elbow is low right there. Okay. Now you get up to a nice position there and actually your racket drops pretty well for someone who looks like in a forehand grip. So what I would say, Danny, is why not just start in a half serve and feel, get this elbow right here sooner in a better position with more turn and coil. Also keep in mind that you might not be comfortable turning because you have restrictions in your spine. And that's where you do the body serve connection exercises to get more rotation. Okay. I'm okay with that pinpoint stance. I mean, personally, I'd stick with a pinpoint stance here. I'm okay with it. You drive pretty nicely, but I think you could work on it from a platform like my half serve, and then we could move the foot later. We got to work on the racket work and the grip work. First move and grip. Are you all noticing a theme here? Okay, Craig, thanks for sending your videos in. All right. So with Craig, And actually, it's good that you're sending, you guys are sending the full motion in, because then I can see where you're starting. But as soon as you send this first video in, go to the half serve and let's improve our position. Okay. And if you get stuck, there's other folks in the community that can help. There's other people that have been doing this longer that can help. So let's look at the, let's look at the serve here. Now, here's what I'm going to do. For Craig and for others, I'll give you the caveat. If you're not going to change your grip, we can still improve your serve. Okay? But the first thing I would say is it looks like you're in a forehand grip, I think. Yep, you're in a forehand grip. Okay? And it looks like you might even be in that block grip. I can't tell because of the speed, but it looks like you might be holding the racket like this, and we want to spread the index finger. Even if you have a forehand grip, spread the index finger. But the next thing is, again, notice the first move. Notice how the arm goes up. The racket's already back and open. Okay? And then right here, the arm is really straight. So now we're back to the half serve. Okay, we're back to the half serve. Danielson to the half serve. Okay, Mr. Miyagi speaks. We need, if you really want to learn how the pros are serving and you're committed to this game for the next 30 years, we work on this right here. See where the ball, okay, so you start here. You toss the ball. Look at how bent my arm is. Craig, I don't see that your arm ever gets this bent before you go to hit the ball. So that's pretty tough to lay the racket back and drop it. It's tough to get to that position if the racket never gets bent, okay? This is going to be a complete rewiring, and that's why the half serve is going to be your ticket if you want to learn this. What would I say if you were to improve your serve without changing the grip? What I would say is, number one, I wouldn't start so high. I would start a little bit lower. I'd get it down by the waist. And then right here, when you go, see how you're bending your knees? I would keep the knees like, it's like, let's see. Yeah, it's like you're going to bend your knees when you bring this foot up, but you're already bending this front knee before you even move this foot. And that's, you know, that's an analysis maybe for another time to go into greater depth there. But the rhythm is off because you're bending right there. You want to be straight there and move the foot up and then bend. All right. So there's a little bit of timing there. But again, I would say the first thing to do is to work on that. Even if you don't change your grip, you can serve with a forehand grip where the racket is here, like you're going to throw something, instead of the racket, the arm being so straight. So again, what do we have here, everybody? We have grip, we have stance, and we have first move. It's the same stuff. We all have to work on this, okay? Let's move to Gretchen with the serve here with this gentleman. All right, so let's look at the serve. Nice little serve. This guy's gonna have a good serve in a few years. All right, so first thing I would do, really nice serve. Nice job, Gretchen. So look at when he releases the ball, look at where his tossing arm and ball is, and look at where the racket is. Now, if he were to toss it from here and then show me more turn, which he actually does a pretty good job of turning, I take that back. So he has what's called a delayed shoulder turn, and I have players that do this. Let me see if I can find Clark. Okay. Yeah, here we go. So there's, see, look at, he's tossing the ball. He hasn't turned yet. Not because I don't want him to, it's just because he's doing it his way, all right? So I'm working with what he wants to do. I adjust, okay? So he hasn't turned when he tosses the ball, but when he gets, and I actually talked about this in a video, he could actually turn more right there. So let's look at the difference in the position between Clark and this gentleman right here. So I would say, Gretchen, a couple things. One, the stance, and I know we're going deuce court, ad court, so it's a little different. But I would see if you can get his foot, see how it's turned out here? It doesn't need to be turned out. It could be more parallel. And I would slide it back just a hair so that maybe the toe is more lined up with the heel of the front foot, the toe of the back foot lined up with the heel of the front foot and more parallel. And then if you look, look at where his hand is in trophy compared to Clark's hand. It's higher. So this player has, I would say, a little bit more of it's almost a low elbow, but it could be a little bit higher. Okay. But the turn is pretty similar. He could get a little more turn, but he'll get more turn if this foot slides back a little bit. I don't want it too far back, just maybe an inch or two, but then this tossing arm, we want to work on getting that tossing arm straighter. So you could do drills with him where he just holds this trophy position. Okay. So do drills where he tosses the ball and he holds the trophy position, right? So he holds that position right there. He could even get the arm straighter than what I'm doing. If you look at Federer, he's straighter, okay? But we want to get a little, if we want to see if we can get a little more coil, a little bit more turn, and then when he goes to get the ball, goes after that ball, let's work on his jump a little bit. Let's see if we can practice jumping over the baseline, landing on that front foot and kicking this leg back. So he could do balance drills even without jumping, where he just lands on the front foot and he's just bent over and kicking this leg back for balance. It'd be great for him to do half serves and work on that dirty diaper to learn topspin, because you can see where he's making contact. We want him to make contact over here more. Okay, so we want, look at where I'm making contact. If I draw a straight line right here, I'm outside the shoulder, but it's more upright. This is more out to the side. So we want to get that up more. And the way that can happen is working on that Christie drill with the dirty diaper. Okay, the Christie drill. We're calling it the Christie drill. Christie, you're going to get famous. You're going to be famous someday here with all the examples we're showing. All right. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Hue, but it's your turn, my friend. This might be your son. All right. So what do we see here? First move, not much of a turn in the beginning, okay? So I'd like to see a half serve. I'd like to see this foot slide back an inch or two. Let's see what happens when the ball gets up. Nice knee bend. Now you see he's got a high elbow, and then it drops into the slot pretty well. So, you know, we see players like Pat Rafter do a little bit of this. And then you see, just like with the previous young man, the ball is out to the side. So let's work a little bit more on that topspin serve. Let's just get the ball toss to move over a little bit. And let's work on that half serve first move drill. Because from right here, I'd like to see him go more up and over. I'd like to see the toss arc a little bit more to the left. And you can learn that when you do that half serve drill and the dirty diaper drill, okay? A lot of potential in this serve and the previous player as well. These young, 10, 11-year-olds, I think they can have great serves in the future. You can see how his body is facing the net and how my body is more angled. That's going to happen. That's going to happen when you get that toss to the left and you work on that dirty diaper drill. If you're not familiar with the dirty diaper drill with this terminology, let me know and I'll clear it up. Let's move to Jeremy S. I ran out of time last week with Jeremy. Another young lad. So we're getting some juniors, all right? Coaches and parents sending their videos in of their players. This is fantastic to really get a head start on this. Imagine if we all had this instruction when we were 10, how much better we would have gotten. So this is amazing. All right. So, interesting. What do we see here? We see a first move with the racket coming up. Okay. We see a stance where, again, that foot can slide back a little bit. We see the ball go up. This is a great tossing arm. This has the potential to have great shoulder turn, but why not start now? Why not get him into the half serve position and tell him, hey, Coach Salzenstein, Mr. Miyagi said we've got to do the half serve drill and learn this motion, this dirty diaper motion. Now look where the ball is. It's to the right. Consistent themes, consistent patterns. The ball position's too far to the right. So we're never going to learn topspin if the ball is here. Okay. So we move this foot back. I would check out the grip too. The grip looks like it might be a little bit more towards the forehand. So we get the grip dialed in, more continental. We get that stance. We get this foot sliding back. We start in a half serve and we work on our trophy position and we bend with that trophy position and we work on holding it. And then we work on the topspin serve where we finish on the right. The other thing I would do, Jeremy, is when you get to right here, it looks pretty good. But then the elbow really drops right here. So we have to pretend that there's a table, there's a line or a table, and this elbow cannot drop below the table line right here. Okay, that can come a little bit later, but just to keep that in mind, but we've got to get these fundamentals down. I'm going to look at a few comments here. Yeah, not I apologize, Anant. I'm just looking at all the comments here. Anant said that's an old one. So yeah, I apologize. I had them all downloaded and I didn't get a chance to move them appropriately. So we'll get you on the next one, of course. Bruce, what's your available to do Zoom session for Northern USPTA March 4th, 5th, or 6th? You have to scoot. Yeah, I mean, just if you can write me a big check, Bruce, be happy to do it. I'm kidding. Yeah, let's work something out, Bruce. Thanks. Okay, 2020, are there any drills for elbowing the enemy? Oh, yes. Is there something wrong with my grip? Who's 2020? Is that Adam? I don't know. But elbow the enemy, man, I think that's in kick serve? It's in the kick serve secrets. It's also in the serve fundamentals unlocked. Okay, great. I was just looking at my video on my phone and my video came up. Thank you. Good, Daniel, Danny. Craig, thanks. Yeah, consider going to the half serve and do the drill that I showed Christy doing, okay? It could be tricky with that grip, but let's see what happens. Anant says you can get by with a forehand grip serve for a while and do well, but mainly hit a wall around 4-0 or 4-5. That was my experience. With forehand grip, you can't hit a good second serve with necessary spin. He's right. Not is right. Gretchen, thanks. Looking forward to the next lesson. Okay, Jeremy, is dirty diaper topspin okay for younger kids? It seems to put a lot of stress on the shoulder. So that's a great question. And I had an experience 10 years ago, Jeremy, with 9-year-old students, and I was showing them all of this. And I always said to the kids, I said, listen, if your shoulder hurts, you need to tell me right away. And in the 5 years I was doing full-time coaching, I had one child say their shoulder hurt, and the next lesson there was no issue. So there is a risk. I don't necessarily think there's stress on the shoulder per se, Jeremy. What I think happens is it's not done biomechanically correctly, and then it creates stress on the shoulder. So the person might be facing the net when they try to do it, or they may, when they finish, they're really tensing their hand and their arm, and they do that 30 times. So maybe we need to do some type of tutorial where I show how to take stress out. But if you watch my dirty diaper lesson, I talk about wiggling the fingers. I talk about bending the arm at the end so there's no tension. I talk about side bending. All of those things take stress over the shoulder. But what I would do is I would do it with an older student, send in a video to me. I'll critique it so you can get better at how the body works with it. And then always have that caveat, hey, if you feel anything in your shoulder, just let me know. And just make sure you do 10 or 15 serves of this type of dirty diaper and then move on. Gretchen, 10. Jeremy, 9. Wace says, thanks, Jeff. Jeremy says it's continental. Let me look again. it doesn't look true continental. I'll be honest with you. It could be. It looks more Eastern to me, like an Eastern towards Eastern forehand. So I always tell players, move it even towards the backhand side so that you really have to hit up on the ball and hit topspin. Because right there, it just looks – right there, it looks right there. It looks like almost a forehand grip right there. The good news is that shoulder's really going up to the ball. So if he can get a little more extreme grip towards backhand and work on topspin, I think it could be amazing. You know, even serving over a fence, I have the pop-up drill, like hitting, popping up on the ball, that can help as well. I think that's in the Tennis Serve Masterclass. Chin, all right, thanks, buddy. Talk to you later. Oh, just tough because his hands are so small for a side. Tough for what? For a continental grip? Just tough because his hands are too small. Gotcha. Adam, I'd have to look at your grip again, buddy. Craig, okay, Craig says, I sure thought I had a continental grip. Just for the record, I will film my grip next time I send in the clip. Yeah, that's the one thing is I think a lot of people think they have a continental grip. And Christy, maybe you can chime in on this on another call. But all the coaches were telling you, you had a continental grip, Christy, and you'd come to me for a lesson. Christy lives in Denver, and I'd say that's not a continental grip. So people think they're in a continental and they're not. I sometimes start kids closer to the net and then they don't try to hit so hard. They get used to it with no problem. Yeah, you start at the service line, or you can even start on the baseline facing the fence and just pop the serve over the net. But we want to get away with trying to hit serves in and focus more on skill development, right? And if they make games out of it, they get points if they do the right grip or have the right swing path or hit up on the serve. All right, Adam, I'm going to look at your grip here, bud. Hard from the distance to see. It looks like your grip is good. It looks like your grip is good. It's hard for me to see because you can see the difference in the space. Like this is a lot closer. So you could get like a tripod and put it closer to you. All right. Okay. Jeremy from Iowa. Let's go to him here. I'm going to move real fast, Jeremy. We could probably go deeper next week, but I'm just going to give you a couple quick wins. Nice serve. Athletic, strong kid. Okay, so the first thing I would do, and it's more of an aesthetics thing, is I would start with the racket lower. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but look at Sampras, study Sampras. I don't have time to pull it up right now, but I just like the racket starting like maybe right, I don't know. I would just look at Sampras and see if you can pick out something. It might be weird if you just start like that, though. So I see why he's doing it. But again, look at this first move. And then let's see if he finds the position. Okay, yeah. So that's not a great trophy position right there, right? So Christy says that is correct. They lied to me, haha, or just agreed to tell me what I wanted to hear. So yeah, Christine didn't have a continental grip, and she would facetiously, she would fight me on it and say, I thought I was doing it. And I'm like, no, it's not a continental grip. But this move right here, Jeremy, is if you can convince this coach, this player to work on half serves and work on the half serve drill and the turn, I think his serve would get a lot better because this elbow is really low. And then also he's got a big curve in his low back. So he's cheating with his pelvis here. So major S posture, and you know he can get away with it because he's big and strong, but we might see, I don't know if he has an injury history, but we might see some injuries coming down the pike. And so we want to work on that pelvis position. And I've got drills. The drills in the membership where the body serve connection drills, the load and coil drills where you learn to tuck the tail, I would hit those every day with him. And I would hit the half serve drill every day. All right. Good stuff. Danny says posture. Yes. Okay. Let's get to Jerome had a question. Gosh, I've been delaying this one and I'm going to have to go back and find the lesson. Kim sent in his videos. We're going to keep moving real fast here. Okay. Kim, next time send in your video from the back. Okay. So I can see this court is probably one of the most interesting courts that I've seen. So that's amazing that you're out there doing your thing. Yeah, it's hard for me to see a lot. Kim, one of the things I want you to notice is your tossing arm's not going totally straight. And that could be because your lat and your spine is tight. Spine rotation, spine side bend. So just keep that in mind. So I like to see the tossing arm up at the trophy position. I think we would see not as much coil as possible. And we can see this toss coming out more to the side. So we have to decide, what is the goal here? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to get more topspin? Are we trying to serve more like the pro? So pros. So next time, Kim, send me a video from the back view and I will show you some more stuff. But the first place I would go again is half serve. Looks like your grip might be Eastern, maybe not a true continental, but I'd go half serve and I'd work on that trophy position, trying to get that tossing arm up a little bit more. Okay, Michael, you've been very patient, Michael. You sent in videos. This is the original video that you sent in from last week. We didn't get to it. And Kim, I will look at your ground strokes next week. All right, so Michael's coming out here. He sent some point play as well. So the biggest thing I would say, Michael, and I don't know how this is going to feel for you, but look at your first move. I mean, down the road, I mean, could you get this off arm straighter or is it going to feel restricted? I don't know. I would look at getting that arm straighter. Could you ever feel, see, also, I can't see where the ball is bouncing, but my guess is that ball's already here. Look, that ball's coming into the screen and this arm is not straight and across. So you got to get ready sooner. You got to pull the arm across sooner. So it's forcing you to be late. Okay. I also think you're holding the grip pretty high. You could move your hand down if you felt more comfortable. You're really choking up, so you're going to lose power that way. Okay, the next thing off. So first move, arm across. Then look at this. Look at the finish. See that finish? If you watch Becca at the beginning of the lesson, you're going to see a big difference, right? This off arm is going to clear out of the body and we're going to get more extension. So I would work on your first move with the arm across. I'd see if I could lower the hand if possible. And I'd really work on that extension and getting that off arm to clear around the body. I know I move quick, but if you study what I talked about with Becca, that's what you're going to work on with the finish and the extension. Here's a serve video from Michael. Okay, so it doesn't look like a true continental grip, Michael. You might think that it is. Doesn't look true continental. You're tossing the ball. And when you bring the racket up, there's not a lot of turn and coil. Again, what I would say is, is this a physical issue or a technical issue? If we tested you with your spine and your hips, we might find there's some physical things to improve. So if you look at my body serve connection exercises, load and coil and body serve connection, start adding those to your routine and then consider the half serve where you can focus on that rotation. You're also choking up as well, so you can move that hand down. Again, to keep it real simple, half serve, continental grip, dirty diaper, work on your first move and your turn. Finally, we're going to get to Vishal. If I've missed anybody else, I'll have to get you next week. This is going to be the last one. Last but certainly not least. Also remember, everybody, in the Serve Fundamentals Unlocked, the first move lesson is brilliant. I know Raul really likes it. It's helped his serve. Look at that one too, the first move drill. All right, Vishal, who's been very patient tonight, gave me a slow motion deal. Let's see what we got here. All right, so look at the first move. Look at how the racket's coming up. We're seeing themes here, right? There's no turn when the ball is released. Okay, now also notice how late it takes to bend the knees. The knees are starting to bend now. So I'd like to see, Vishal, when you toss the ball, you start to bend sooner. So if you study my half serve drill, you're going to bend sooner. Okay, now you get your turn. Okay, you get your turn, but you're not really using your pelvis. So the pelvis isn't shooting forward enough. So again, look at the load and coil drills to learn how to tilt your pelvis and get your pelvis in the right place. We added a new exercise called belly lift. Maybe we can review that next week. You have a pretty good turn here. I'd just like to see you start it from a half serve. I'd like to see you learn how that model that half serve lesson and get that pelvis in a better position. I also see that your racket is dropping just a tad early before you go up to the ball. Not a huge deal, but something to be aware of is that when you drive your legs up, that's when the racket should start to drop, not have the racket drop and then the legs fire up. We talked about this last week. Not a ton of push from the back leg, so we need to explore that as well. Okay? So, Jeremy said, thanks. His grip can definitely slip closer to Eastern, but typically it's legit continental. Okay, cool. This was also first serve lesson after coming back from hand surgery. Next video will be half serve. Awesome. All right, Jeremy, let me show you where this is all located. I'm only rushing tonight because we're now at an hour and 40 minutes and I got to eat dinner. My girlfriend is probably trying to keep the food warm and she's being very patient with me. So if you come into, where are we? This is bonus serve drills. No, bonus serve drills. Injury prevention, right here. Look at this. So serve, load, and coil. Your student from NIU and Vishal, you got to do these three exercises till the cows come home. Every day. Every day. Three times a week minimum. Every day do these exercises. Then these exercises right here, belly lift alternating arm, Eldoa, seated trunk rotation, hip 90-90, expanded breathing. I said this last week. If you did these six exercises three times a week and these four exercises three times a week, and you just did that for 6 months, I think you'd see huge results and your understanding of the serve and being able to really get things going. These are the best of the best. I didn't just throw these exercises in there because I needed to fill membership. These are the best, some of the best exercises in the world that you can be doing right now. These are exercises that even the best pros in the world aren't doing. I learned these from the best performance people, and I hand selected these as go-to exercises for the surf. Okay. All right. I enjoyed tonight. Had a blast. I'll see you all next week. Continue to stay safe and healthy out there. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much.